This morning I'm going to tell you two stories, and they're related to each other. So the first one took place about 7 years ago when I was living in Charlottesville, Virginia, where my husband Andy was studying for his PhD at the University of Virginia. And together we were attending St. Paul's Memorial Episcopal Church right in Charlottesville. At that point, I had been in the formal process of discerning a call to the priesthood for about 2 years. The process of discernment is very long and complex and thorough and begins very personally and informally, and then begins formally when one talks to their priest and then talks to others in the congregation. So it was at that point that I had been in that formal process for about 2 years. And on this evening, it must have been in the spring of 2011, I found myself visiting a meeting of the vestry to talk with them about how I had been experiencing my call, to share with them reflections from others in the congregation who had been processing my sense of call along with me. I was seeking the input and observations of the vestry and hopefully getting their support for pursuing the call further, namely by applying to seminaries. And after talking with them for some time, they offered me some very thoughtful and practical questions, like, how would we afford seminary, especially when my husband was in school himself? How would the next steps of my formation align with Andy's career? And since at that time I was early in pregnancy with our first child, how would I manage raising a child and preparing to be a priest? They asked a number of very thoughtful and practical questions, and we had a deep, wholehearted conversation. And then the associate priest at that time, Anne, who had not spoken yet, said, "I have one thing to say. Emily, stay close to Jesus." And the room got quiet. She continued, "This process gets turbulent. There are many people involved. There are many tests and hoops to jump through. There are many papers to write, deadlines to meet. You can feel like you are at the whim of it all. In the midst of that, no matter how much turbulence you feel, Emily, stay close to Jesus." Flash forward to about 6 months after that, when I found myself beginning labor with said first child. I had been anticipating this. The baby was due on Thanksgiving Day that year, and here it was 2 long days after Thanksgiving. And there had been no sign of labor yet. When, O Lord? Until the contractions began. Yes! And at first they were like 30 minutes apart, 20 minutes apart, 10 minutes, and then more frequent, 5 minutes, 3 minutes. And at first these contractions felt like just any other cramp or pain I'd ever had before. No big deal, I've got this. And then all of a sudden, the intensity of the pain just shot up, and it was on a totally new level. I had not experienced or even imagined that kind of pain before. And I called my friend who had agreed to serve as a doula with me, like to be with me through all of this labor, having assisted many other women during labor, including her labor herself. So I called her, "Jen, come over. And she was over within like 10 minutes. I said, I've never felt anything like this before. It's so intense. I have to go to the hospital right now. So she checks me out. She does a few little tests. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, oh, honey, you're about like 10% into this. You're not going anywhere yet. We're going to be here together for a while. Just focus on your breathing. And amidst everything that I was feeling, she had me focus on my breathing. Jesus today is talking about the beginning of the birth pangs. He is talking to a few of his closest disciples who have come to him, as I called to Jen, hey, what's it really going to be like? And Jesus, I'm sure those disciples thought, like I thought labor was going to be easier. They thought that Jesus was going to offer a simple answer. But Jesus points out that natural disasters, civil unrest, earthquakes, famines, today we might add wildfires, these are but the beginnings of the birth pangs. Birth pangs of what? Of God manifesting in the world in a brand new way. Of God being born in our very physical existence. I do not believe that God wants any of this turbulence and turmoil and pain to happen. I do not believe that God desires pain or loss for any of us. I do not believe that God is causing wildfires in California, that God causes earthquakes, that God causes destruction. I don't believe it's faithful to rationalize them in that way. We cannot rationalize around the fact, though, that pain and turbulence are part of our very lives. That no baby can be born without labor and or other serious physical sacrifice on the part of the mother. We cannot rationalize around the fact that pain and turbulence are part of life itself for some reason. So what do we do? There are many things we could do, including examining our own lives to become aware of how or if we are contributing to problems that cause pain and turmoil upon another. How might things that I do, that we do in our lives here in Detroit affect whatever is causing the rampant fires in California? Even to pause and think about that takes patience, humility, courage to even wonder about that, much less to take the next step of how we might change our lives in order to lessen the suffering of our neighbors. And first, most importantly, I'm remembering what Jen, my doula, and Anne, my priest, reminded me in those times of turbulence and uncertainty and pain. What do we do first? We go deep inside. We remember to breathe. Maybe we remind somebody else to breathe. And as we do so, we recall that the Holy Spirit is already with us and in us. Especially at these times when we feel at the whim of everything around us, precisely in this pain, in this uncertainty, in this turbulence, personal and global. What do? We stay close to Jesus. Amen.